everybody. Welcome back to the Heavy Dice Podcast. I am your host of the moment, anyway, Thomas Davis, and we are in the middle of my homebrew game, Fosterlog. We are very close to the beginning of my homebrew game, Fosterlog. We are joined by Eric, who is playing Ellison. Eric?
Hey there.
Why don't you tell us one more sentence about your character and maybe your knacks and flacks, if you have any.
Oh, I didn't do any homework, so I don't have any knacks and flacks yet. I guess I can fill those in. But last time I said that my motivation was something that I do not feel like fits at all. I want to change that.
Okay. And Sully is playing Vok. Tell us a thing or two about Vok, and if you've got knacks or flacks, let us know about those.
Hey, yeah. So, my flack is that I don't know what knacks and flacks are, but my knack is that I'm willing to learn what knacks and flacks are.
Okay, great. So, in the selection of races, or, well, heritages in Fosterlog, there are knacks and flacks. Probably, I think you and Ellison, Vok and Ellison are both Anthrid, so I think maybe they just get one knack or flack. It's worth checking. I'll check that too while we're working our way through. For the listeners, we are literally building this as we go. I've written two or three different RPGs that I'm variously proud of, but I'm trying to paste them together into one to rule them all, and that's hopefully Fosterlog. Anyway, the knacks and flacks are sort of like your perks and quirks from other RPGs.
So I took a moment to re-roll my motivations from your table. And I rolled power, which I feel fits very well with one, my rebellious personality, and two, my overconfident idiom. So seeking power, I feel, would be great for this.
Okay.
I'm going to give that a shot and see how that turns out.
Perfect. So that replaces piety?
Yes.
Okay. Seeking power. I'll put that here. And looks like Anthrid probably get two knacks and one flack, and I haven't restricted the list yet. The knacks and flacks include some things like animal attributes, you know, claws and things like that. Because inheritance is magical in the Fosterlog, it's totally possible that an Anthrid would have that. But if you feel like any of the knacks or flacks that you roll don't fit your concept, then just roll another one or just choose one. So for the Anthrid, two knacks and one flack. Okay, let's go on to Mark's character, Griffith, the Lystragon. Can you tell us a little bit about Griffith? And I think that the musk and stuff was already one of the knacks or flacks, wasn't it?
Yes, it was my flacks. I have musky and gauche as my flacks. And for my knacks, I have a tail because, as I said before, I am a skunk.
Okay.
I was playing him very, sad because he's melancholic is the personality, but I don't know, I might change that maybe.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know, maybe just his voice will change. My idioms is chaotic, like Don Quixote, I think.
Quixotic, I think, but yeah, however you like.
And Mark, I feel like you shouldn't cross too much into your actual life. That's how these are going down.
Okay. So,
not giving a shit about other people is comfortable in the real world, but maybe you should reach out and branch out a little bit.
I don't know if I can, man. I mean, the hedonism, that's, both in character and out. Maybe a little bit more sexually oriented in character.
I really appreciate that you guys are doing this. That's exactly what this is for. These are... they're to give your character, but they're not to dictate the character. So if we've got things like this that don't fit your concept, then we just change them. Anybody who wants to change an idiom anytime, go ahead and do it. Your motivation, as we go a little further in the game, be sure you're happy with your motivation because we would want some plot reason to change it. But if you want to change it, we can invent a plot reason. But if something big happens in the plot, like Vok is following his destiny motivation, and for some reason he's horribly disappointed in the result of that, then that would be a good reason to change your motivation. Okay, so last time we rolled up a party advent of a mutiny, and we played that out in slightly railroaded RPG style. our three characters were helping some high-level mages and experienced sailors set up a henge, set up an observation area on a apparently newly formed island, uncharted in the northwest corner of the world. As far as they know, the world is flat. Although everybody has a different idea of the actual shape of the world, which they all forced me to explain to them last time. I feel like that went well. All right. So in the northwest of your idea of the world, that's where you are. And it got really spooky. They saw a scary silhouette of a man that on the horizon that was way too large for any creature that would be on the horizon. They saw a moonrise that was looked a lot like a sunrise. The sea was way too calm and predictable. There were waves, but they never broke. Our characters got really spooked, and probably justly so, because there were shadows winking in and between the observers and the stars, and there were dark shapes roiling through the moonlit wave crests. So they stole one of the two boats and headed back toward the tall ship San Celeste, which is a bark. It's a three-masted ship. And they were chased very ineffectively because they stole the oars of their friends, chased ineffectively by some ship hands in the other boat. And Griffith decided to, that the fact that they almost certainly were never going to catch them was not certain enough. And uncorked a lightning bolt on them, blew a hole in their boat. We learned a good lesson about magic, how that is probably going to work in this game. And the pyrotechnics drew the attention of some dark, large, rubbery shape in the waves that seemed to just destroy the boat. Anyway, there was some screams, and all the lights on the boat vanished. Something that could have been a killer whale seemed to simply eclipse the boat. So we're rejoining the action with our party as they approach the San Celeste. The San Celeste is entirely dark. They do not know if the full complement of the ship is already ashore, or if a skeleton crew has been left there, because that was not part of their instructions. You guys are essentially Marines. You are, you know, mostly landlubbers, although Vok does have some mariner experience. Mostly landlubbers hired to provide support to these mages on their destination island. You have definitely decided not to do that, and you are fleeing. This is your mutiny. And even if you go back and say, okay, never mind, guys, we're sorry, that's still a mutiny. It's just a very short-lived one. So you can decide, you know, if you're in for a penny or in for a pound. Normally, the ship being left alone like this would be crewed with at least somebody. But there's no light or anything on the ship. Two trips were made to and from the ship to unload lots of magical paraphernalia. So most of the equipment is already on the island, and you had counted roughly 80 people on the ship on your way out, and you counted roughly 80 people on the island, some five of which may now be lost in the bottom of the surf. That is where you are. We're going to model the ship off the HMS Beagle, which is Charles Darwin's ship. It is a bark. It has three masts, a foremast, a mainmast, and a mizzenmast is the one in the stern. It has racks of guns, but gunpowder does not exist in the Foster Log. So those are either simply sealed bulwarks, or there's one ballista on either side of the ship and another ballista on top of the forecastle, the front of the ship. Otherwise, it looks a lot like the Beagle. If you need an idea of what that looks like inside, there's a poop deck here in the back, and a quarter deck. There's a foredeck. There's a tween decks. This is where you spent a lot of your time. And there is a hold. That whole area was dedicated to these mages and is an area that you've never visited. They were not living down there, but they spent a lot of time down there during the trip. So that is a mysterious area on board.
Vok got a sextant and something else.
compass, I think.
Yep.
Okay, so that's where we are. Gentlemen, you are pulling up to the side of the ship, to the bulwark. The ship is still quiet. The Jacob's Ladder loading net is still down the side of the ship in anticipation of return. Also, there is a winch on the side of the ship that you can use to recover the boat. But that will take a little longer and may require a little more ingenuity. Or you can just paddle around it and appreciate the view.
That sounds like something I like.
All the stuff that's going on in the waves still going on. But you don't believe that you have drawn the attention of any of these Krampuses, any of these scary dark shapes in the water yet.
Yet.
Yes.
Thomas, are there any other boats, like lifeboats hanging off the side of the ship that we could hide under?
No, both boats were used. There's essentially I forget what they call it, but there's a whale boat and a dory, and both of those were in use. You guys are in the dory, and the whale boat is in the bottom of the surf now.
Ah, yes, the dory. That is used for finding Nemo.
Well, I imagine, Thomas, are there more boats? Did we take all of the boats?
There are two boats, and one you're in, the other one you blew up.
It seems to me that whoever owns this boat did not have enough small boats.
Will I still be able to sleep in the captain's quarters, Spock?
Yes. I'm not stopping you.
I think you lost that privilege when you shot a lightning bolt.
Yes, you have killed a man. And you certainly tried to kill at least three, and you maybe succeeded. Which is not the goal of this mutiny. We're just trying to get the fuck out of here.
In the distance on the shore, you see a hair-thin, pale green light stretch from the area of the encampment up into the stars. Seems perfectly vertical.
All right, I'm getting on the boat now.
How would we do that? Do we have that capability?
Yeah, there's a winch if you want to recover the boat. The getting on this ship is going to be pretty easy because the Jacob's Ladder is still...
Okay.
Still hanging down.
I do that.
All right, who is first? Who is first over the gunwale? That's the top of the bulwark.
Well, who's the captain now?
Me.
I mean, okay.
I've sort of taken control of the situation. You see, everything I do is written in the stars, predestined, including stepping out of this boat.
Everything?
Yes, everything.
So that green line, it's not moving around or anything. It seems spookily straight. It's vertical and it's extremely thin. It's so thin it seems like it should be too thin for you to see it, but it's very bright. If you wait 2,000 years, people will say it's a laser.
Is it easy to get this boat connected to the large ship?
Yeah, it's pretty easy. There are eyes and there are hooks. You put the hooks through the eyes.
Okay, everyone. Let's do the thing that hooks the boat to the eyes to the hooks to the things.
And I will grab the rope or whatever it is that connects it to it. And I will, you know, make a play like I'm trying to do it. But I'll be eyeing the other two to see if somebody takes it from me and actually does it.
So as this is being decided, I'm thinking Vok is coming over the side of the boat, coming over the side of the ship. Fair? So, Vok, as soon as you get to the top of the ship, you notice a couple of things. You notice your friends are below you. One is standing in the dory. The other is probably holding on to the Jacob's Ladder. The wind has started to blow. It's a very gentle wind at this point, but everything was extremely jarringly still when you guys set out. So now the wind is starting to blow. And you are hearing what may be thunder in the distance. When you get up over the gunwale, the boat is totally dark. There's no light. There's no light there anywhere. And I don't think you have dark vision, do you?
No.
Okay. So how are you going to proceed from there? Are you moving onto the boat? Are you turning around and dealing with your cantankerous friends? Or what happens next?
Yeah, so...
Surely you wouldn't leave us behind.
So I'm going to say, it is currently good sailing, I believe, but there could be bad weather. We should sail through the night. Is there a lantern down there?
Good question. There is a... There should be. Yes, there's a lantern stowed in the bow of the boat. And you also know that there is a lantern. There's always a lantern at the binnacle of the ship, which is, I believe, is on the poop deck. So you could go up there as well.
Oh, I have a lantern here. I could possibly carry it up. I mean, it is asking me to do a lot of things that I don't normally do, but, you know, for the mutiny.
Okay, Griffith, bring up the lantern when you climb, and Ellison, you follow him closely such that you don't fall in the darkness.
So there is a lightning flash. It is far in the distance, and you'll recall
that... Make haste!
I'm already on the road.
You'll recall that there's mist in the distance, and this lightning is certainly being affected by the mist. So it just seems like the sky winks white for a moment. Vok, give me an observe roll, please.
An observe roll? Mm-hmm. Well, I get +1 to observe at ocean.
Yeah, okay, perfect.
What does that mean? Does that mean I have an extra match?
I think it's a match. It is a match bonus, isn't it? Is that the way it's written in the NAC?
Let's see.
Native ground.
Because I don't exactly understand what a match bonus is.
Okay, so you have advantage. So what that means is that you can re-roll one of your dice if you don't like it.
Okay. And observe, which stat is that?
That is intellect. And
intellect.
And if you have...
I made a success.
Okay. You clearly see where there is a port and starboard lantern on both sides of the mainmast. Both are dark right now. And you also see 5 hooded figures standing in a pattern around the mainmast. They are essentially a pentagon. They are centered around the mainmast, but one of them is shockingly close to you, but not facing you. They are all facing dead ahead. They seem humanoid. They seem to be dressed for foul weather. They're hooded, not like as in some sort of creepy robe thing, but as in they're expecting hurricane force rains.
Fellows, greetings, fellows. We're getting the fuck out of here. You want to join us? Some spooky green light over there that we kind of want to avoid. You get me?
You hear, hey, what do you think? What do you think you're doing? And one of the...
How did they not notice me yelling down the ladder, but they...
Hang on. Okay. No.
I thought they were doing
one
something
of the,
spooky.
One of the doors on a cabin opens, and a young deckhand walks out with a lantern in his hand. The 5 figures standing around on the deck do not respond to you at all. They don't even look at you. So you're being challenged by somebody who just came on deck holding up a lantern. What are you guys doing here?
What am I doing? What are they doing?
So the person who came up seems... You know them from the trip over. This is probably like a 17-year-old boy. But they're certainly old enough to be a sailor. At this time... If either Griffith or Ellison wants to come over the gunwale, you can.
Oh, yeah, I will.
Okay.
Oh, yep, same.
So you see this same situation. These spooky, heavy weather clad, you know, large men standing around. They appear to be large wrestler types standing around, but being completely impassive. and an obviously distressed young fellow sort of burst out of a cabin door, and now he's backing up a bit, and now he's yelling down into the tween decks, going, guys, come on up here. Something's wrong. Something bad is happening.
So I think I want to try to get this person's attention.
Okay.
How tall is he?
He is as tall as you, which is effing huge. I think you're like really big, right?
Yes. Lystragons are right. Huge.
Yeah.
But okay, so I'm going to tap him on his shoulder.
You tap him on his shoulder, and he moves not at all. Your finger kind of goes in a little bit, and then as you pull your finger out, it is the dent that you left in his shoulder is reformed. But he says nothing. He doesn't respond at all.
That was no use. Vok, maybe you could talk to the young boy there. Do you know his name?
Do I know his name?
Sure you do. I'm going to use a mark skill here, and I'll say, sure you know his name. It's Larson. Larson.
It's looking at Laszlo. Okay, Larson.
Larson. Look, we are not here to cause issues. I don't know who these five are. They seem spooky, but everything is awful right now, and us three decided we're going to get out of here, and it's probably best that you join us because, did you see the ocean? There's like some figures in there. There's a green light. It's all bad. The stars have said, they've written that today is a day of misfortune. And I'm going to run away from it if you're cool with coming with us.
If you don't want to come with us, I can cast lightning on you. And maybe that'll make us all come together if you get my drift.
Griffith, you are not casting lightning on the ship which we intend to sail.
Oh, there's something I wanted to point out from last time. Very brief retcon. Griffith, you had a match and you spent two Elan. So I think what would have happened instead is you would have spent one Elan and your match. So give yourself one Elan.
Okay, that keeps me at three Elan. But how do we get more matches? Can I get more matches?
Yeah. You can get more. In fact, keep doing the good role playing and you will get more. Okay, I would like a charm roll from both you guys.
So what would I roll for charm? Because I don't have that as a skill.
Charm is verve, and if you've got the skill, you can add your intellect.
I didn't succeed, except I did get a penis. I mean a Venus.
I would get outraged, but I think the real Venus is usually not that far away from a penis either.
I didn't get luck either. Maybe Vox did something better.
Oh yeah. Vok, did you?
No, I'm okay. Not very charming. Right.
So Larson is not convinced that he's obviously not just falling in line with what you guys are saying. But you notice that he keeps like reaching his hand down toward a cutlass that he's got at his hip, but he's not drawing the cutlass. And instead, you guys are coming over the port side of the ship. He moves to the starboard fore and is holding up the lantern. What are you talking about? What do you mean everything is wrong? And he's going to the fore. What happened to the captain?
Well, you see...
You see shapes coming up the steps behind him. You hear at least two other people coming up the steps.
Vox, I hear people breathing heavy. I think they're coming.
Okay, real quick, guys. Should we lie or should we tell the truth?
I always lie. I mean, tell the truth.
I think this young man deserves to know the truth. That he needs to come with us.
Right, I mean, do we tell him the captain sent us, or do we tell him we deserted the captain and left him behind?
Tell him that the captain was struck by lightning and he's dead, and we're in charge.
That could actually be true.
There was an awful lot of lightning over there. It jumped from our ship to their ship. It was very scary.
Yes,
very
yes,
low
okay.
Lightning.
All right, Limbo, whatever Larson. Your name was.
Larson.
Larson. It was quite an unfortunate series of events. My voice is changing every time I talk.
What happened was, we were out there on the beach, and the astronomers and the sages, they were observing strange phenomena in the stars, and they said it told of horrendous fate, and and you know what it did? Because it got all stormy, and there's a green light, and the captain was struck by fucking lightning, and
fucking
he's dead.
Lightning?
Probably.
It's the worst kind of lightning.
That's the only kind I cast, just like Carv said.
Yeah.
I'm always Carv.
So everybody else, give me the role that you think is most appropriate to this. I think it's Charm for Vok and probably for Griffith also. I bet Ellison is more martial because he seems to be like trying to assert his authority over these guys. So...
Yes, that's exactly how I'm...
Ellison, you have advantage on your martial role because these guys need marshalling. These guys are obviously a little bit at their wit's end. They were expecting someone of command, you know, an officer. They were expecting someone that they're used to taking orders from. They weren't expecting three Marines to come clambering over the side of the ship.
Okay. And that just gives me an additional match, right?
Well, what advantage does is it means you can reroll any one that you don't like, any one die that you don't like.
Okay. All right. So I need verb and thew plus some luck. Okay. So thew, that's a tilt. Man, and it was a match, but it was a tilt.
We can take it.
Okay. So that's not a match anymore. So verb. I didn't match on anything.
That's all right.
I'm going to re-roll my
thing.
Oh, wait.
If both my lucks are the same and I don't care about either of them, is it nothing?
That's right. If they match but they don't appear on your sheet, then it's nothing.
Well, you're in luck because I rolled Mars, which is a match on my thing.
Okay. And Vok, you got nothing?
They still don't like me.
All right. They don't believe me. So what we're doing here is something sort of like a skill challenge in D&D. This is sort of conversation combat. And you guys, if you lose this, it's going
combat
to...
It turns into real combat?
It very likely could. So two more young men have come up on the deck. They also, one of them has a belay pin in his hand, and the other one has a cutlass at his hip. They have boots on. They're making a lot of noise. You can't tell if there are more below. You can tell that there's not a full ship's complement. You can tell there's not even any kind of crowd below, but there might be one or two more below. You're not sure. The five creatures standing around are still absolutely motionless. They're nailed to the deck almost as surely as is the mast.
I'm going to step in, and before... Bleh. I'm just going to ignore the fact that they look like they're ready to just cut someone up. And I want to stand sideways between the five that are standing there motionless and the ones that just came up and emphasize that this is something that is... obviously related to what happened, the bad omen on the shore right before the lightning struck the captain and killed him. This is obviously related. We need to resolve the bigger issue at hand. I want to try to defuse the situation before it turns into combat.
Yeah, okay. Decide, while I talk to the other guys, decide if this is Charm or Marshall or something else from you. And other guys... I'll let you just make a roll, but if you can tell me some reason, either an intelligent thing to say or some other maybe knack reason that you should have advantage on the roll, I'll give you advantage on the roll.
While I would like to use Marshall because I have it, realistically I think this is Charm.
Okay.
I'm trying to fast talk them. Try to get them to stop seeing us as a threat and see the bigger threat at hand. So I only need to roll my verb and my luck, correct?
Yeah, I mean, you could just go ahead and roll all your dice, but yeah, Verve and Luck are probably the only ones that are going to affect this.
Yeah, I ain't got no matches. I'm just talking into the wind.
Listen, the captain's fate, while sad, is something that was bound to happen. You see, everyone's fate is written in the stars, and just as the captain was destined to die here today, we are destined to take action and return to the shore, evading this fell wind and these sinister lights.
Okay, Ellison, you had advantage on that, so reroll your Verve. Sully, you have advantage on this because, I mean, Vok, you have advantage on this because that was a well-articulated speech. This is either charm or this is also, it could also
be
Marshall.
I feel like his could have been Marshall.
It sounds more like Marshall to me, so whichever you prefer.
I didn't get a match on my roll.
Okay. Vok, any matches on charm or Marshall?
I have to reroll?
You can, if you need to, because you have advantage.
Wait, is Thu Marshall?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then yeah, I got it.
Okay. Now, do you have
hold
the skill?
On, hold on.
Do you have the skill, yeah. Marshall? Because you would actually have to have the skill for the Thu to apply.
Oh, I see. No.
Okay. All right. That's all right. They didn't get any matches either.
I misunderstood.
Either. So,
Wait, no, I get a reroll.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Reroll it.
I got it.
You got it.
I got a Neptune.
Okay. Awesome. And Griffith. You know what? I'll give you a hint. Try not to roll two lucks that are both your bail. But whatever you think. Are you feeling muscly charming?
Yes, I'm feeling very Pepe Le Pew-ish, if you know what I mean. I mean, does it look like they've gotten affected at all by us?
Oh, they did. They didn't draw their weapons. I mean, you're having effect. It isn't that you're. It's just that this is not like charm person. This is like you're trying to convince someone who has been given orders to repel you to not repel you.
So I think I'm going to try to, you know, use my curves, make them sort of like Jessica Rabbit.
Jessica Rabbit.
okay. Make them see me as, you know, not a threat, more as desirable.
I think that's probably fine. So give me a charm roll. I'll give you advantage on it.
Okay. Well, that is a success. And I also got
did
some luck in there. It matched both my luck, not my bail.
Oh, okay. All right. Good. Well, I was particularly concerned that you didn't get too bails. Yeah. All right. So what has happened just behind the scenes is you guys got four successes in this discussion. They got three in their suspicion of you. So you seem to have won them over. They put their heads together. They talked for a minute. And Larson says, so you're saying we got to get out of here right now?
Indeed. This wind and these lights, they can only mean harm for us.
Charikef.
Also, do you mind me asking, who are these five? Because I don't think they came with us when we left.
So, he said a word while you were saying that. And,
sorry.
No, that's okay, because I didn't want you to hear it. So that actually worked out perfectly. And as soon as he says the word, the five creatures move into life. Each moves to the rigging and begins setting a sail. One of them moves...
Some sort of accursed homunculi.
One of them moves to the boat winch and stands beside it, but doesn't go over the gunwale or anything. These creatures move heavily. They move as if they were men in full plate armor, but they move almost silently. You can barely hear them except for the boards creaking under their feet. The wind is picking up. There's some lightning in the background, which makes them moving around in their hoods even a little spookier.
Do I get the feeling that he's going to lift the boat up?
His body language is definitely saying that.
Okay, so I guess I should... can I try to jump down
into the boat below to help get it hooked up?
Yeah, do this. Just roll all your dice and let me know if any. So if you get any physical successes, let me know. So that would be your alacrity or your thew. Actually, if you get any successes, let me know. And let me know with your
luck. I got a match, but it was on my verve.
Was verve. Okay. Well, that's
all
right.
You succeeded in telling me to go do it for you.
So once again, I probably make it look like that I'm going to go ahead and hop over the edge and do it, but I sort of like hand the rope to Ellison.
That's fine. I can handle that. And instead of climbing down, I'm just going to jump down into the boat from the main boat so that I can start hooking the stuff up.
Okay, okay. Why don't you give me a skill check anyway? Just roll all your dice and tell me if you get anything.
Oh my goodness.
If you get fewer than zero, then you're in the water.
Okay, so I have alacrity, thew. Oh, just alacrity and thew. Okay, actually, it looked like a whole lot more than it was.
Yeah, okay. Well, see, so what you guys have done is you've impressed Larson that you know what you're doing, which is really lucky because you kind of don't.
Excellent.
Yeah, and the creature that we haven't named yet, as soon as Ellison lands in the boat, he lowers the recovery hooks to you, and there's an eye on both sides of the boat that these hook onto, and you seem to know intuitively where these go. You've seen the boat hanging there for weeks now already, so it's not a big leap. You attach them. As soon as they attach, he starts winching in the boat, and you're maybe a little bit impressed that this guy is easily winching the whole boat and you quite quickly without any apparent effort. The others are setting the jib sail and the foresail and the mainsail. The boys are lighting the lanterns and looking out over the side of the ship, trying to figure out what's going on with the captain. Larson says, "Oh, the spyglass," and he goes clambering back down below decks. The boat is beginning to turn. The wind is picking up. That green light is still tracing a fine line from the heavens straight down to where you had encamped. Everybody give me an observe roll. You need an intellect success, and if you have observe, then your alacrity can help.
I have one match, Gemini.
Okay. So you, Ellison, do not understand exactly what you were looking at, but you believe you were looking at something magical. And not just the green light, that seems pretty obviously magical, but you are seeing from a parallax view, from the perspective of far away off the deck of a ship, you are seeing some sort of shape on the ground where everyone is standing. It seems like the encampment is involved in whatever ritual that they came to perform there. So you believe that you don't see any further efforts being made on the beach. Everyone seems to be arranged around the bottom of that green beam of light.
And we expected this to happen, correct?
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's the reason that they came there. But they, you didn't know exactly how they were going to respond to your mutiny. But weirdly, they are not even trying to save the ship, it seems, at least at this point. Maybe they think Larson's going to kick your ass.
Did anybody else roll more matches than me?
No, I matched just one on my intellect.
So you know that this is definitely a magical ritual. It is definitely one you have never heard of in detail. It is sophisticated. It is something beyond what anyone like you guys who are just starting to get into magic would have been exposed to. It has got divination aspects, and it has got conjuration aspects. You can't tell for sure if they're conjuring something, divining something, or some weird mixture of both. But that's the sort of pattern that they're standing in, and from this distance you can see that the henge that they built is simply magnifying this pattern, is totally consistent with either divination or conjuration. The boat is turning across the wind, which is about what you want for getting underway. One of the mysterious figures moves to the anchor and begins pulling it in. As soon as it detaches from the seafloor, and interestingly, normally you would move the boat cleverly to detach the anchor, but this guy seems to do it with just brute force. So there's an actual shock that runs through the length of the ship as the anchor disengages, but it doesn't run through the fellow. The fellow seems able to accommodate this quite easily. Larson comes running back up the steps and goes to the poop deck, braces himself against the railing there, and extends a spyglass so that he can look at what's going on the shore. Okay. I think what is happening here is it seems like you have succeeded in convincing these young men. The others, by the way, they're doing what they should be doing to get the boat in hand. There are a number of sails, so they're going to be unfurling a few sails, not all of them, and they are climbing rigging as needed to get to the higher sails, that sort of thing. They are doing what sailors should be doing to obey your orders. This is not a big enough crew, even with all of you and the five. It's still a slightly undercrewed vessel, but it's enough. If everyone was obeying you and everyone knew what they were doing, it would be enough to get the ship fully underway. If all you're doing is pulling away under the now rising wind, you're already in the process of that. You don't need much more effort. The only person not doing what you seem to have directly ordered them to do is Larson. He is looking at the off the side of the boat with the spyglass.
Sure hope he doesn't see the captain out there.
Yeah, no shit.
I did have one question.
Uh-huh.
So those robed figures,
mm-hmm.
were they, first of all, do I know what they are? And secondly, were they with us the whole time? Or did they appear when we left?
Give me a Ken roll.
Ken roll?
So that's intellect and verve.
Of two best stats. And I succeeded. One level of success.
These are golems. And you don't know what kind of golems they are, but they respond to some sort of very few commands. And probably one was what Larson said while you were talking to him earlier. And so that's what they are responding to. You don't know what kind of golem they are?
Well, I imagine the squishy shoulder and the need to be covered makes me think clay or some earthen material.
Yes, yes. Actually, why don't you go ahead and give yourself a match? Because I like the deduction.
I believe I've seen them in a box of fish sticks.
Trust the golem fisherman.
My only question is, how did they get the golems without any geodudes?
Exactly. So these guys are not part of the regular crew, but you assume they were packed in the cargo hold.
So like in a box?
They were probably just in a box in the cargo hold and were released after you guys, you know, left the ship.
And so they weren't on deck playing shuffleboard?
They don't tend to socialize much or eat much in the galley.
Cool. Can I make them?
No, I guess you could try.
Oh, I can think of some things to make them do.
I don't like where this is headed. All right. I think the ship is going to go underway. It's going to start pulling away from the research site.
What's Larson doing now?
He just seems enraptured looking down that tube. Looking down the spyglass at what's going on there. You notice...
I'm going to approach him.
Okay. You notice that hairline thin light. Little beads of light seem to be moving up or down it occasionally. It's all the same sort of sickly green, pale green color, but it's no longer perfectly smooth. As the wind changes, you think you might be able to hear some chanting or something like that on the wind, but that could just be your imagination. All right, you approach Larson.
Larson!
What do you want?
Are you all right? You've been staring for well over 5 minutes or so. Be careful, I don't know what this magic is. It could enthrall you or something.
He, like, slowly collapses the spyglass in his hand, and he says, I suppose you're right, Mr. Vok, isn't it? I'll do what you say. The captain told me not to respond to any orders except from the officers, but he didn't tell me that anything like that was going to go on. How did he die again?
A bolt of lightning struck him and two others.
From where?
From the sky.
And he looks up in the sky. There is lightning, but it still seems really far away.
You know, if you can see lightning, it can hit you. So be careful.
Indeed. You see, some don't know this. And even I was unaware for quite some time, but the fabric of this earth is much like the fabric of space. The stars dance night to night, changing positions. So can the land shift, causing strange anomalies, such as lightning from a cloudless sky.
Well, if you say so. And he walks over toward the helm. He approaches the wheel, and he says, what's our new heading, sirs? He doesn't know who he's talking to. Also, they're going to call anybody in command sir, regardless of pronouns or genders or names.
I don't know where the nearest landmass is, where's the we came from, where we want to go. I don't really know the geography of Fosterlog.
Yeah. Well, you've been traveling mostly west and somewhat north. So you would probably, if you just want to try to go back the way you came, it would be east, southeast. But you can go any direction you want.
I don't think so.
We want to keep going northwest and see if we reach the edge.
No, that's what we were scared of.
This island is northwest of you, so you would have to circumnavigate it or just run aground on it. But yeah, it's not a huge island. You could get around it if you wanted to keep going northwest.
Do we know of like nearby ports or towns or inhabited islands?
No, there may be charts in the captain's cabin, etc. You guys haven't explored the boat at all, the ship at all. So there may be evidence of where you are, but this journey has been guided pretty much by divine interventions. So they have traveled directly here with heavy provisions. They didn't stop and reprovision, resupply anywhere. So
I point just like in a random direction and say, go that away.
Okay. And are you pointing, I'm guessing you're pointing away from the scary stuff.
I mean, of course.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. East, southeast it is. And he's turning the wheel and he's trying to set it.
Really instilling a lot of confidence here, Griffith.
Thank you. I need to go find the captain's quarters
now. Oh my God.
Okay. All right. So you guys have escaped, and you did it nonviolently. I really appreciate you not killing these kids. I was hoping. I tried to
murder children.
I tried to make them old enough that, you know, we all wouldn't be depressed if you guys goofed up and ended up having to fight them. But yeah, I'm glad you were able to convince them. I want there to be a lot of fighting in this, or at least as much as you guys want. But I wanted to see if you could do this without violence. I also wanted to see if you were going to pick a fight with the clay golems, and I'm glad you did.
The qualums, if you will.
Qualums. I think that next time we'll have to talk about what's in the captain's cabin, since it seems like that's where Griffith's headed.
Undubitably.